It is, of course, Shabbat Pesach. It's the beginning of our intermediary days, now on the run-up to the last day of Pesach next Friday. And I know already you're eager to get into your boxes of matzot and get munching on all of those. What great fun we're going to be having over the next few days, hoovering up the crumbs and everything, as we always have every year. But this is the Shabbat of the Pesach week, the Feast of Chag HaMatzot, the Unleavened Bread. The Torah portion, therefore, this morning was from Exodus 12, 43 to 51. The Haftarah there, of course, that famous section always read at this time for Passover of the dry bones, Ezekiel 37, 1 through to 14. And from the Messianic writings, Rav Shaul's understanding of what Pesach at the core has as its meaning, that's the first letter to the Jewish community in Corinth, chapter 15, 12 through to 28. And what lovely words, just hearing them again, just blessed me this morning. You know, if Messiah hasn't risen, then we are of all people most pitiable. You know, it really comes down to this. You strip it bare, that is what it comes down to. The reason why we are here and not at Elm Road this Shabbat is because of Yeshua, our Messiah. That is it. Strip it bare, that's what it comes down to. Because this is what it's all about. It's all about what Yeshua did for us. The fact that he was born, the fact that he lived, the fact that he ministered for those 3 years, the fact that at the end of that time, knowing the agony he was going through, that he actually voluntarily surrendered his body to die that agonizing death. And it didn't end there. He then rose from the dead. And I think actually Shaul's comments are really superb, actually, when you think about what he says at this point here. He says, because it's not just for this life, it is for the next too. And you know, this is something that our brothers in the Jewish community often do not understand. And they accuse us of being otherworldly minded. We are not otherworldly minded. We believe in seeing redemption now in this world. We believe this. The power of God now to see people saved. The power of God now to see situations changed and altered, to see people who are oppressed being delivered and set free. That's what it's about now. But we don't just focus on this life, because there's more to come. Because actually the price being paid for our sins means that we can enter eternity confident that when God says, you are judged, and the next breath he says, but the blood of Yeshua covers. We can be confident in a way that our other Jewish brothers and sisters cannot be confident right now. Because it's not just about this world, it's also about the next. And we have to remind ourselves that it is at Pesach that God showed who he was. He broke into our human reality in a powerful and mighty way when Pharaoh was standing there directly challenging the God of the universe for supremacy. And Adonai says, Pharaoh, who are you? Dealt with. Next. And then we need to remind ourselves of this. It's the fact of Passover. It doesn't matter who they are, what pretenders are queuing up for the throne in heaven. Our God rules. End of. And there is no more discussion. And they can come before him and argue their case, and the Lord says, just get out. You are a nobody. Because our God rules and reigns. The power of our God. And he reaches down with Pharaoh strutting his stuff, his arrogant stuff across Egypt, as if he ruled the world. And the Lord comes down and thinks, maybe we need to just set a little bit of a lesson here. Let's write something into the history books which will show you, Pharaoh, who is the real God. And of course, as we were suffering and our cries went up before him, God heard and he acted. He was stirred by our cries of our pain in slavery. Passover is the time our God acted. He broke into human history to give us freedom and effectively trashed Egypt in the process. There was nothing left for Pharaoh, his own firstborn dead in his arms. The one who would rule after him, he had to bury. Because our God said, I can end your dynasty just like that. You do not rule and reign. It is the God of all the heavens of Israel and all the nations and all the universe who rules and reigns. He came down to give us freedom from Pharaoh, a man who was dominating us, draining us of all life and hope. And I think, as we've effectively already said this morning, if there was something about Egypt, it was the fact the spirit of death was stalking the corridors of that country, sucking the life out of everyone. Because this is what happens when you have someone like Pharaoh, who rules and reigns supreme, absolute power, someone who controls and dominates in that way, they will bleed you dry. But that is not the case of our God. You see, our God, who has supreme power, voluntarily does not control us. Imagine this. Just imagine the reality of this. He doesn't control in that way. We talk about his will be done, and it will be done. But the one thing we know is that God gives us freedom. And we can get into debates about this, and we know that people do, because the social determinists of this world will tell you, no, you can't be free, they'll say. We have no freedom. We're all locked into this power, either of our inherited character, qualities of our parents and backgrounds, or our social strata, the external circumstances, and you cannot withstand them. That is who you are, they will say. A closed system of thought. That is not who our God is. Man likes to put everyone into a box, create structures and forces to control people and dominate people, and you can't do this and you can't do that. It's your background, it's your family, it's this. You know, people would tell you you're only a criminal because you were poor. Hello? At what point did you give up your choice? Seriously? Prisons are full of people who couldn't exercise choice? But who were poor or had an appalling background. I'm not knocking poverty and poor backgrounds. It is shocking what some people go through. But seriously, if everyone who had a poor background went to the logical conclusion of all of this, our prisons would be stuffed to overflowing. Because there'd be so many of them. Because I'll tell you, every single one of us, even in this room here, has got a story that we can tell. So why didn't we go and thieve and steal and break into someone's home or commit murder or something else? Because actually, for a lot of people, we understand deep down, as humanity, God has given us freedom to choose and make those choices. What Judaism teaches, the scriptures teach this. We have choice and freedom. Actually, God has created an amazingly open system, each new day framed by the living God, who does and has and will intrude and invade into human life. Why? Because every time you pray, you're inviting God to break into your life. You're choosing righteousness. You're choosing to align your life with him. And effectively that's saying, Lord, I want you to break in and do this. I trust your power. I know you are powerful. You are not locked into things where you sit back and just think, there's nothing I can do about it. Woe is me. Our God breaks into and changes our lives. He disturbs the changes, the courses of history. Our God has not created a world set or fixed. We are not into deterministic, fatalistic philosophy or theology. And there again, we said that word theology, as we said last night. We don't get together to have a theological symposium. We get together and we praise God. Why? Because not of the theology or the teaching he has given us, but because he is alive, answers prayer, and breaks into our lives. Everyone worries about, have they got the right theology? Do we believe the right things? You know, I'm not saying you can believe what you want. It's not a free-for-all. It isn't like that. But you know, at the end of the day, it's your relationship with God that counts. Because if we cannot demonstrate that we have a living relationship with the God of Israel, how are our brothers ever going to see that our God is alive? There's no point if we come to them and demonstrate from the scriptures X and Y theology and whatever and sit down and debate these things. That is one level fine. Is, you know, you might get somewhere, but it's not going to change their lives. What is going to change lives is the impact of the living God of Israel in and through us. Because that is a sign. That is a sign that our God is alive. It's a sign that we're not locked into tomorrow, a destiny that we cannot avoid. It's a sign that through all of these things, if God can break in and change, we too can choose and change. Because the power that God works through us. This is a God like unlike any other God or deity which had ever been seen or heard of on this planet. And when Pharaoh had that day of destiny with the God of Israel, boy did he realize something had changed. See, Pharaoh just thought, oh, this is just like any other god. You know, you sacrifice a few animals, you do X, Y, and Z. This is what you do. Basically, you kind of keep the gods happy, you know. That isn't what we do. At least it shouldn't be what we do. If you're eating your matzah this week because somehow you think you're going to keep God happy, you know what? Go home and have a piece of toast. That is not what it's about. You're not just trying to keep God happy. We're not trying to appease him in this way. We love him. We want to walk in obedience with him. We do it because of our love for our God. We're not just trying to cheer him up or make him happy. Because look what we're doing. We're keeping you happy by doing what we're doing. You know, God is happy. He has always been happy. He is the happiest person ever. He's always happy. He's full of love. He loves people. Yes, he can get sad when he looks upon the carnage that we bring into our lives. But we are not there really just to kind of make him happy. He wants to see a response of love from us. This is a God who hears people's pain. This is a God who acts righteously, not capriciously, which is what Pharaoh completely misunderstood. This is a God you have to bend the knee to, not just doff your cap in respect. And there is a huge difference in all of this. Because if our God rules and reigns, we can do nothing other than prostrate ourselves before him, to bend the knee and bow and acknowledge his sovereignty as he rules the universe. And in his rulership, it is not a dictatorship. This is a rulership where he does not remove that freedom of choice from us. Egypt took away our freedom. Egypt was a place of oppression. This world is a place of oppression. We know it's true. As this world is stacking up its sins, our God once more is hearing our cries of a people enslaved. Of the people, the nations being enslaved, not just by this world and its systems, but by sin itself. The cry is going up to God again. Save us, we need to be set free. It's at Passover that we see this happen. It's at Passover we see God break in. It's at Passover we understand the truth of the scriptures, where it says again and again, God is my salvation. And he is my salvation. God is my salvation. Let's put it into Hebrew. Adonai is my Yeshua. That's what it says in the Hebrew. And he is. Because in Yeshua we see God acting for our salvation. Yeshua's death and resurrection brought all of these ideas of redemption, deliverance, salvation, setting free from bondage. He came and he did all of these Jewish ideas all in one thing, because Yeshua came to set us free. Free of everything that dominates us, rules us, controls us, seeks to have that power over us. Yeshua came to set us free. It's HaSatan who knocks us up in bondage. By his lies, by his threats and cajoling, and his trying to trip us up day after day in the traps and plots and everything else which HaSatan and his minions of his unclean spirits attempt to trip us up and goad us and pull us away. But Yeshua came to set us free, and there is nothing which HaSatan can do can stop the freedom which Yeshua brings for us. Amen? There is nothing, I want to say it loud and clear, there is nothing that can overcome the will of God and the freedom which Yeshua has brought. And we need to hold on to this. Because the enemy will lie to you. Pharaoh lied to us. Pharaoh, day after day, effectively was saying, you're never going to get out of this. This is never going to end. You're going to die right here in Egypt. It's the end of you. And God says, that's a lie. And because you've lied to my people, you will pay the price. And boy, did Pharaoh pay the price. Yeshua came to set us free. And what was Hasatan's plot, his evil plot at that moment in time, as Yeshua was nearing the end of his ministry? Hasatan thought to himself, I will now show who's got real power and control here. He thought, I will even control Messiah's life and I will kill him. That's what Hasatan thought. The power of death again, the spirit of death, the ultimate weapon, says Hasatan to himself. I will bring it against even Yeshua, and I will show the world who is really in charge. And what did Yeshua say? Bring it on. He died and rose again. Because he needed to show that even Hasatan, with the death which he thought he had control over, even that was not powerful enough to overcome Yeshua and the salvation and deliverance and redemption that he brought. You know why it says in the book of Revelation, the last thing to be thrown into the eternal lake of fire is death. Because Satan has used it as a weapon against us for so long. And if you're feeling the life sucked out of you, I guarantee you it's because Satan in some way is trying to work into your life. This is a reality. Because God brings life, not death. And if you're sensing that life being sucked out, then pray, ask for prayer, and we'll see some deliverance, because you need to be set free. It is for freedom that God has called us. It is for freedom that Yeshua came. And we need to get a new level, I think, as we kind of just move to a conclusion with all of this. I want to show you something this morning, a new level of understanding of what this freedom and complete freedom is all about. So I'm going to take you right back to the garden once more. Adam and Chava. You know, the only people, they only had one choice to make in all of this, to eat fruit or not eat fruit. That's a fairly simple choice. I know what I would have gone for, not eat fruit, right? But they had a choice. True. I'm a meat eater. Now, had it been like steak on the barbecue, that would have been more of a challenge. But whichever, they only had that one choice. But you know what is absolutely true in all of this? That choice was real. Because it always comes back, if we're talking about freedom, it always comes back to choices. They were completely free to decide to do or not to do, to eat or not to eat. They are free, they were free. And it shows us fundamentally right from the word go, God has actually created us free. Can you hear that? Can you get that? There's something about the created order in all of this, that we are meant to be free. It's part of who we are as human beings. We're not meant to be enslaved. We're meant to be free. Completely free. Free to completely choose what we do each and every day. Do we serve God or do we choose not to serve God? In many ways, it's that basic default position for all of humanity. Now we know. Adam and Chava catastrophically got it wrong. It was only 50-50, and they still went for the wrong one. But it illustrates something really important. They were absolutely free. God did not stop them doing the wrong thing. You see, a dictator would have intervened at that point. A controller would have got involved and said, oh, no, not this tree, you know? But no. See, God doesn't do that. He didn't control them. Didn't dominate them. Didn't cajole them or bully them at that point, or send an angel in to sort of push them away from the tree. They were absolutely free. We need to understand this is what God has called us to be free. Human beings are meant to be free. And the staggering reality, if you understand it this way, is that if we are oppressed by sin, it's self-imposed. Clock that. We don't have to live in sin. It's self-imposed. And having done this and we now oppressed ourselves with our sin, we then go on to oppress others and deprive them of their freedom too, whether it's in some kind of state dictatorship or right down to playground bullies. No difference at the end of the day. you're taking freedom from other people and dominating their life. And it is wrong, and it is sin. And yet we could infer from all of this, if you wanted to, that our default position of freedom somehow must have been completely lost at that point when that wrong decision was made. And yet that would be a wrong conclusion. We are still free to choose, even today. And the Torah makes this very clear, of course, as we know in Deuteronomy 30, it says, choose life. Now, it doesn't just say that because it's an interesting thing to say. It's saying it because it's actually a human reality. God understands this. He has given us that choice because he has given us freedom. The problem is we don't get it. We stop believing it. We stop understanding that God gives us this choice of life. Because as difficult as times as it feels for us with that choice, it is real. We are free to decide. We are free to choose every single day. You know that moment where you're thinking you want to get revenge with someone, or you're thinking those bad thoughts? You've got a choice. You do have a choice. You don't have to do it. No one robs you of that choice or freedom. It's our default human position, but the problem that we have is that sin robs us of all of our right perspective in all of this. We battle against sin in our lives and around us with all of its eroding and corrosive effects in families and society in general. And it's taking us back to a place where we become so foggy-minded spiritually that in those moments of choice, it feels like we almost don't have a choice. It's kind of just going to do it. I have to do it. What am I going to do? I can't get out of this. When there's anger or emotion gets involved, and suddenly, wham, we find ourselves there. But again, I'm telling you now, it's a lie. God has given you freedom. As much as we may feel overwhelmed by the ubiquity of sin, we do have that choice. We have the power to choose. Even if that power sometimes seems to laugh in the face of the daily reality and severity of our spiritual condition and position. But God has made us, created us free. The problem is that we just seem to feel and experience that freedom so little in our life. What did Rav Shaul say? Romans 7, you know the passage so well. The good I want to do, I don't do. And as sad as this passage is, as a reminder, and many have used this actually against a concept or even to uphold a fatalistic concept of humanity, actually if you read it carefully, what Rav Shaul is saying here, he's saying, I know what is good and right, and I want to do it. I want to do it. We need to remind ourselves, a bit of freshen up our concepts here. Rav Shaul is not saying here, you know, oh, wretched man is me, I'm so locked into something, I haven't even got a choice anymore, sin is all I can do. If that was the case, why would you then judge someone? That's all they can do anyway. You can't judge someone who's locked into that. You can judge someone if they make wrong choices, however. Yeah, that's what judgment's really all about. He says, I struggle with this, says Shaul. I know what is the right thing. We struggle to experience freedom. I'm going to lob in as my final thought on this, a verse that Rav Shaul quotes, or he writes for us in the Jewish community letter to in Galatia, chapter 5, verse 1. It's a different kind of concept. It's a verse that you've heard, but I want to just explode something and help you understand what it is that God has given us this morning. A deeper level of freedom, if you like, okay? Because we have so far been thinking of freedom as being set free from Pharaoh. We've been thinking of freedom as being set free of sin. Freedom, in other words, being released from something. And I want to say, if that is your concept of freedom, then you're not fully getting it. Because it's not just that. Because yes, we are free of these things, but what does Shaul say in Galatians? It is for freedom that Messiah has set us free. It's a really interesting verse. You know it, it's a very popular verse. It is for freedom that Messiah has set us free. Now you might think, okay, it's fair enough, it's obvious, isn't it? That's obvious, we understand exactly what is said there, except that if we were locked into the pattern of thinking that freedom is actually just release from something, we'd expect it to say it something like this. You'd think it would say, for release from sin it is that Messiah has set us free. But it doesn't say that, does it? It said it is for freedom that Messiah has set us free. Illustrating that the setting free from and freedom are two completely different things. Think about it for a second. It has to be true. The setting free is only the start of a process that will result in and lead you to freedom. But so often all we think about is, God has set me free, he's released me, he's paid the price for my sin. Amen! Hallelujah! That is an amazing thing in itself. But if you only ever stop at that point, you're not going to push through to freedom. You're just going to be forever revolving around that wonderful sacrifice, thinking, yes, I'm free, I've been set free, I've been set free, isn't it wonderful? You need to push into freedom, beyond the setting free, because it is for freedom that Yeshua set us free. Do you get it? Yeah? We need to push through to real freedom. And it's great that Messiah has set us free, but if we don't actually inherit and move on into the freedom he has paid the price for, then we are robbing ourselves of something vital that we need as humanity, as people, because God has created us free. Oh, now the bells begin to chime, because now we're beginning to understand. This takes us right back to the garden with Adam and Chava again. If they were created truly free, then in Messiah setting us free, he set us free for freedom. To go back to the garden again. So we can be free. In other words, each and every time that something now happens in our life, where we see something we shouldn't do or mustn't do or whatever it is with the commandments, and we think, shall I or shan't I? It's effectively God says, you're back in the garden again, fruit or no fruit, because you are truly free. If you are born again, then Messiah has set you free for freedom, real freedom. And suddenly you begin to realize how much this concept of sin and its ubiquity has robbed you of the truth of what Yeshua has given to you. You are free. You are living in freedom because he set you free to live in freedom. So every choice that you now make is, Lord, shall I serve you and obey you, or shall I do the other thing? And the good news, having been rebooted, as it were, to start over that process again, the good news this time is that we find that Yeshua is standing next to us, and he says to you, I will empower you through my spirit. I will give you the strength through me, through what I have done. I will cause you, as the scriptures say, cause you to walk in my ways. That's the power of God. Whereas Adam and Chava in their complete freedom before, in a sense, yeah, they were free to choose or not to choose. Now God is standing next to us and saying, because of what I have done through Yeshua to set you free through my spirit, I will cause you to choose not to eat fruit. Isn't that great? See, I found my answer. Finally. But you know, that's what it's all about. See, through Yeshua living and dwelling in us, through the power of the Spirit, we are free. We are free. Free to choose God every day. To choose him. To want to do what he says. And to make sure that he gets the glory. Freedom is making those right choices and being empowered to do so. So now knowing your freedom in Yeshua is to choose the right thing, to re-establish the freedom and power of making those right choices. And as everything else, choice and freedom boils down to this basic one simple idea, as simple as the garden itself, to serve self, eat the fruit because it looks good, or to serve God and walk in obedience. To deny yourself. To bring the flesh into submission and to serve God. That's why the scriptures say, choose life. Choose life. Demonstrate you are free, as we've said this morning. Show God you are free. Choose life. Be free and serve God. Amen. I've been in my kingdom. Father, we thank you, Lord, that it is for freedom that we were set free. Father, we thank you that it would have been enough, Dainu, Lord, it would have been enough to be set free. But it wasn't just that you set us free. You gave us freedom. You showed us what real freedom was about, Lord. Freedom to choose you empowered in your spirit. Lord God, I pray, Lord, give us this revelation. Show us this revelation. That we can again walk in the power of your spirit right here in this community. Father, we need to walk in the power of your Ruach, your spirit, so we are caused to walk in your paths. Father, when we walk in that level of righteousness and obedience and faith and trust in you, Father, we know you will do miracles. Father, you will do miracles because the people around us will see that we are different. There's something else, something other about us, a people who are really free. Free to make right choices, not being bound by sin or this world or anything else or our own flesh. Father, I pray, take us to that revelation position of knowing our freedom in you. On this Pesach, we pray. B'Shem Yeshua Mashiachinu. Amen.